for breakfast.
Well, last week, it was World Radio Day, something that I must admit I wasn't even totally aware of. But researching a little bit for my chat with this with my next guest, I found out a little bit about it. And I've got to say, I'm pretty proud of the organisation that I'm involved in, given what they've been doing. Dr. Ashley Jones is from the School of Arts and Communication at USQ, Senior Lecturer in Television and Radio Broadcast, and he joins me for breakfast to talk about it. Good morning to you, Ashley.
Good morning. How are you?
Look, I'm well. And, you know, as an advocate of the medium of radio, it was something that I got hooked on when I was a kid, back in the glory days of talkback radio, I suppose, when my mum and dad used to listen to it. And I thought, I'd love to do that. And for 20 years, I've managed to be a part of this industry. And I'm thankful that it's still alive and well. And it certainly seems like that's the case.
It certainly is. We've got, you know, certainly the last decade has grown by about 22% and certainly by 12% in the last 5 years. So radio is definitely alive and well.
That's interesting, given now all the technology. I mean, my kids, unlike myself, I used to lock myself in my room and sit there with the radio on for hour after hour. Now they're on YouTube and streaming services and all this sort of thing. Technology still hasn't totally wiped radio out yet then, by the sounds of that.
No, not at all. And I think, if anything, what you're alluding to there, Lee, too, is it's about different ways of receiving the product. And so in many ways, it's still wonderful radio, but it's just delivered in different kinds of ways. And that's really a good way to kind of look at it.
The World Radio Day, in conjunction with UNESCO, it's been around since 2012, and it really does highlight what radio does, particularly in some remote areas of the world. And I love this year's theme of dialogue, tolerance and peace.
Yes, absolutely. And the lovely thing about it, and radio's been doing it for many, many years, is entering into a conversation. So that idea of dialogue is actually, funnily enough, quite the opposite to war. So people only get into hostility because they haven't talked. And so radio facilitates that, and hence the idea of tolerance and peace as well. So there's a real power in the word, and we know that radio does it day in, day out.
All right. There were events held in more than 80 countries around the world to mark the day. So it's extraordinary the reach that this medium still has.
Yes, and it's exciting that it's being celebrated across the world, because in remote villages, the local radio station keeps them together. And, you know, Lee, the real heart and soul of radio is the fact that it does bind a community together. And that's what it does today. And the fantastic work you've done with the Hospital Foundation there in Toowoomba, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's all is the fabric of radio and of community.
So I guess then video didn't quite kill the radio star, despite what the Buggles told me.
That's exactly right. Yes, it survived. And that's the lovely thing about radio. It went through from the big fixed device in the corner of the lounge room,
yes,
to the transistor radio, and then along came television, and particularly in our corner of the world, 1959. And so radio just had to kind of reinvent itself. And it was the transistor, the portability of radio, that actually took it to its next level. So radio always kind of bounces along. Today it's the DAB Plus, yes, and the different distribution models you talked about. So it's still a very versatile, flexible model as far as media is concerned, but it's a wonderful, intimate kind of relationship that people have with their radio station.
It's certainly far removed from when I started 20 years ago, and it's wonderful, you know, to be a part of the journey that it's taking. And now we're hand in hand with social media platforms that people can actually see and interact with what's going on, and I think that's a great thing. And I have listeners that, you know, send me messages. They're listening in Taiwan via the app. They're listening in, you know, the United States, and they get their fix of their local region that they grew up in now that they've, you know, branched out around the world.
Absolutely, and that's the important bit too, is that it's such a point of connection too, Lou. That's what's so wonderful about radio, is that people are listening around the world because they need to get those things that are familiar. And when you're talking about the stuff that's happening in the Darling Downs region, Toowoomba City, you know, that's the real power of the radio. It connects not only the people who are in that place, but those people who are away, who absolutely feel connected to that because of what you've been talking about, and how the station continues to be relevant for them. And so it's that point of connection. It's like an old family friend, you know. It's there, it's with you. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, I can remember first starting in radio with records.
Yes.
And now it's all touchscreen and all the rest of it. So it's changed dramatically, but the heart and soul of radio has never changed. And that's what makes it such an exciting and wonderful industry.
Well, it's wonderful to hear, and it's lovely to talk to somebody with as much passion about the medium as myself, Dr. Ashley Jones from the USQ. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I really enjoyed the chat.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Well, recently, we've known this bloke for our magnificent new rooftop bar, George Banks, the Mills Precinct, of course, and the famous Spotted Cow wouldn't be the same without Phil Khoury, part of the Khoury family. And he joins us for breakfast this morning because a very special announcement that they've got. They're up for a fantastic regional award because of their contribution to getting live bands to play. And it's great to have Phil on the line this morning joining us for breakfast. Good morning to you, Phil.
Lee, how are you?
Mate, I'm well, and congratulations. Named a finalist in the 2019 Queensland Music Awards Regional Venue of the Year. You must be proud of that.
Look, I am. It's Q Music's run by the government, which is good, so it's always good to get recognition from the government rather than just an inspection from liquor licensing or police, so... This is exciting, mate. This is something for real.
And you have had some, I mean, incredible bands, you know, not ones that necessarily my listeners would be familiar with, but certainly their kids would be the likes of Amy Shark and Gang of Youths and all of those, giving them a chance there when they were up and coming at the Spotted Cow. Live music, the scene back in the 70s and the 80s was massive around pubs and clubs. Mm-hmm. Is it still alive today, or are the new regulations killing it?
I love that you mentioned the 70s and 80s because my vision for the Cow has always been replicating that early 80s Sydney scene, Brisbane scene. You got the Saints, Radio Birdman, these ferocious shows that were amazing. You look at like the famous some of those famous Midnight Oil gigs in the early 80s. And I actually really feel like we replicated that with early shows from, as you mentioned, Gang of Youths, Smith Street Band, Violent Soho. We had the June Rats at the hotel before they absolutely exploded. I was emailing an agent the other day and fishing for a band, and they're out of our price range, but I don't begrudge that because I'm just so happy for them. Because there's no other way for these bands. I love these bands dearly. These people, they're amazing people. There's no other way for them to make money now. People are not buying albums anymore.
That's right.
It's Spotify, it's iMusic. And the only way we can help these people who make amazing songs is to support them in live music. Buy their T-shirts, go and meet them, buy the album on vinyl. They'll sign it for you. I love it.
Yeah, look, I love the passion that you've got there, and obviously you still feel that this is still very viable, that bands not just wanting to launch via YouTube and other platforms, but they still want to get out and do live gigs.
Look, I think it's very viable. I was absolutely stoked when I got an email from Ballpark Music's agent saying if we want to come to Toowoomba. I never thought we'd host them again because they're a big band, but they want to get out there. They want to support regional Australia. And it's tougher for regional Australia now because of Splendour in the Grass and Groove in the Moo, two amazing festivals. I'll throw Laneway in there as well.
Yep.
They're great festivals, but it makes it a little bit tougher. But, man, I've got my mum in my corner cooking for the band. Can't beat that.
You cannot, mate. Now, people can support the Spotted Cow. They can vote and support live music here at themusic.com.au/QMAS. themusic.com.au/QMAS. Support a great local venue in the Spotted Cow. And, mate, congratulations on the nomination there. We'll keep our eye on it.
Thanks, Lee. Love you, buddy. Take care.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious. And former baseball superstar Jose Canseco made his name hitting home runs, but his latest project is a pitch to go Bigfoot hunting. The former MVP posting online last week, offering to take a few lucky people on an expedition tracking the mythical beast and to meet a real alien. The post read, "Spend the weekend with Jose for $5,000 cash. Only five lucky individuals will get a golden ticket. Oompa Loompas ain't got nothing on Bigfoot. Travel in his custom RV to authentic alien sightings and proven Bigfoot habitats. Camp out in the wild, tell stories, and maybe even meet a real Bigfoot." It isn't completely out of left field for the 54-year-old outfielder. A few weeks ago, Canseco posted a series of tweets claiming aliens had given him the secrets to time travel. Yes, I know what you're thinking, but it still has more credibility than this.
CBA Chief Executive Ian Narev.
To all the customers who received poor advice,
I apologise unreservedly.
And a Tinder-inspired app is helping UK farmers match up potential partners for their cattle, called Tudder. A mix of dating app Tinder and Udder, it lets farmers swipe right on cattle they like the look of. They're then directed to a page on the Sell My Livestock website where they can browse more pictures and data about the animals before deciding whether to buy. Launching just in time for Valentine's Day last week, the makers believe Tudder is the first ever matchmaking app for livestock. Well, it would have been if RSV Sheep didn't launch in New Zealand earlier this year.
You cannot be serious!
Triple M.
The shows. The stars. The glamour. The big wins. And the occasional fail. It's all in Lee's Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs 864 Triple M.
One of I'm a Celebrity's most unlikely stars has been crowned the winner, and even they're a little bewildered by the result.
It's Richard!
Yes, entertainment reporter Richard Reed was crowned this year's winner of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, beating out finalists Evie Jones and Shane Crawford. Stunned by the win, Reed told journalists he hadn't expected to last beyond the first 20 days and tipped Luke Jacobs or Justin Lacko to take home the crown. But viewers seemed pleased on social media with Reed's win, and it saw $100,000 gifted to his charity of choice, Beyond Blue.
Please, go to Beyond Blue. Even if you're not depressed or have anxiety, go to Beyond Blue. Just give them a look. It'll change your life. The jungle will change your life. It changed mine.
They were quite literally the pop duo from Down Under that were on top of the world. Savage Garden may have only made two albums, their self-titled 1997 debut and 1999's Affirmation, but both of them spawned an American number one single, I Knew I Loved You and Truly Madly Deeply. Since they last recorded together, a half a dozen of the band's hits are still being played worldwide. So, just what did happen to Savage Garden? Well, there doesn't seem to be any bad blood, but according to Darren Hayes and Daniel Jones, it was Daniel who just couldn't get used to the rock and roll lifestyle. Hayes would go on to have a solo career recording several albums over the last couple of decades. And Jones would build his own recording studio and start the record label Meridian Music. These days, he's married to Kathleen DeLeon from the kids group High Five, lives in Las Vegas, and flips real estate. But unfortunately, there's no chance of a reunion anytime soon, with Jones mentioning in an interview last week that he and Hayes no longer share a friendship. And it might have been nearly a quarter of a century since Bad Company's last studio album. Now, singer Paul Rogers is hinting the wait might be finally over. In an interview recently, he said, "We're in the studio just kicking things around and seeing what we've got." At the moment, the band continues to tour, doing shows with ZZ Top, Cheap Trick, and Lynyrd Skynyrd. And that's the latest.